1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we continue through the book of 1 Corinthians, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth in about 55 AD. He had established that work during his second missionary journey. I think a couple weeks ago I may have said first missionary journey. That was incorrect. It was during his second missionary journey. He had established his church in about 50 AD, so he wrote this letter in 55 AD, so it's a very young church. They had a lot of problems. He's dealing early on with division in the church. They were identifying themselves with different personalities in the church, with Apollos, with Paul, with Peter, and then some were the ultra spiritual. They said Jesus, though I don't think they were really saying it in the proper manner. So they had division in the church. We're going to find they have great problems in the church. They also had a lot of issues with pride. They had a lot of issues because remember now, we're in Greece here. They're not very far from Athens. If you know all of the great, you know, philosophers of the day, Plato, Socrates, right? You've got Aristotle. You have all of this. Greece, you know, they were known. You see this even in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Will you see that there? Look at verse 22 in chapter 1. It says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." You know, teach me something, show me something. They were after the latest thought, the latest thinking. And so what would happen is then pride would begin to set in. People would begin to be proud of their walk with Christ. And there's no place for that. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this in verse 29. Paul begins to teach them things so that, in verse 29 of chapter 1, that no flesh should glory in the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So we'll see that same theme carried today as we see this. But will you follow with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 6. We're going to go from verse 6, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Hang in there, and we'll then break it down so you can see here. It says here in 1 Corinthians 2:6, it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or mature, or complete, or that are saved, if you will. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Verse 8. "Which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Title of the message this morning, God's hidden wisdom. You'll see that there in verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom." God's hidden wisdom. What is the Lord talking about here? He's talking about salvation. He see that? He says that there in verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." The plan of salvation is an eternal plan. You understand that? It's not as though God reacted to the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden and said, "What are we going to do? Let's figure out a plan." God's plan, the Bible says, has been before the world began. It was ordained. It was of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ has always been planned. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has always been the eternal plan of God. But the Bible calls it the hidden wisdom. The Bible says that in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God. And you find this interesting in verse 8. It said, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now you remember who Paul's talking to. He would tell them this. Everyone, and we are susceptible to that as well, we are impressed with people in power, aren't we? If you have authority, if you have power, we're impressed. We get nervous when we're around them, right? And so the same thing with the church at Corinth here, but Paul was telling them this. He's saying that none of the princes of the world knew this. They didn't understand salvation. He said, because if they did, for had they known it, he says in verse 8, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's an amazing statement, is it not? This hidden wisdom of God, the leaders of the world at the time that Jesus walked this earth, they didn't understand the plan of God. The Bible says if they had understood it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Now, we talked this before. Jesus came, and there was not a plan B. He was going to the cross. You know, I mean, there's no what ifs, but Jesus would have nailed himself to the cross. No one killed Jesus. He gave up the ghost. Jesus gave of his life. No man could kill the Savior. Jesus gave of his life. He gave of it willingly, and he gave of it so that we might have life eternal. But the leaders, they knew it not. And now verse 9, you all have heard verse 9, haven't you? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That verse is generally quoted and preached out of context. Do you know what verse 9 is speaking about? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's speaking of salvation. That verse in verse 9, we generally speak of it in terms of heavenly things. I've heard messages on that, haven't you? From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And there are wondrous, amazing things that God has in store for us. But I will tell you this, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's talking about salvation. Then what he says here in verse 10, this is important. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's hidden wisdom is revealed by the Spirit. See, that's important. The Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You understand, Paul is teaching them this so that they understand this truth, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. You and I cannot glory, we cannot boast in our faith in Christ. It's of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must reveal himself to us for us to be born again. You understand that? That's what it says right here. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us, or those truths, or that hidden wisdom unto us, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so, this is so critical. It's why you and I, we all believe this, because how many of you have ever prayed for the salvation of someone? I love that. I think we as Christians should, right? And when we pray for their salvation, don't we pray that the Holy Spirit would move on their heart, give them understanding, bring conviction to them, and gloriously so that they would know the Lord and Savior that we know? We pray that truth because we understand that truth, that we know this, that the Holy Spirit is the only way that someone comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because what the Bible said right before that, it says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is not of man. You know, nobody would even have thought of this idea of God becoming a man, coming to earth, living a perfect life for 30 plus years, and dying on the cross, shedding his blood, being buried and risen again, and that is the key to eternal life. And the Bible says, for God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Secondly, this hidden wisdom of God. Not only is it revealed by the Spirit, but it's only known by us by the Spirit. It's known by the Spirit. Now look at this in verses 11, 12, and 14. Look at this. He says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" You know, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you would probably be terrified if I asked you, what in the world is that talking about? Don't you have to read some things in the Bible like four or five times? And then you're still not sure what it says? What's it say in verse 11? "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Sometimes keep reading, because sometimes it'll help you with a comparison. "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." The Bible says that the things of God no man knows except by the Spirit of God. So here's what the Bible's saying. Look at, let's just explain the first half of verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Man knows man. Right? Man doesn't know God. But everybody has an opinion about God, don't they? Man knows man. Man doesn't know God except by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows God, and He's the one that reveals Him to us, and He's the way we know God is through the Holy Spirit. Man knows man. The Holy Spirit knows God, and He's the one that must tell us about Him. Don't you find that interesting? I see all the movies that are made, and we turn everything into a man. Right? All of the cartoons, right? They turn dogs into people. Right? And so you see all of the, you know, the animation, and it's pretty cool, right? You see, you know, dogs have a personality. What's the newest one that's coming out? It's like, I don't even know what it's called. It's like, whatever your animals do when you're gone. As though, you know, they have this human personality, you know? And so, we do that because man knows man. What the Bible says is, man doesn't know God except by the Spirit. Look at this in verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now look at verse 14. It goes into it even more. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Now this is an important truth. How does someone come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? It is only by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now what is verse 14 when it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." The natural man. Who is the natural man? The person that was born. You and I, when we're born, that's the natural man. The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, is there other evidence that the Bible speaks of that? Let's just do a little Bible study here. Look over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. What's the issue with the natural man? Why can't the natural man receive the things of God? Why can't he? Well, the Bible says, one of many issues, and we'll look at several, is because man is spiritually dead. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 4, and then we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. We all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but I want you to see the context. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," or made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So you see in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Here's why. You're dead in your sins when you're outside of Christ. It takes a revealing by the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit making God known unto you. Because the natural man spiritually is dead. Listen to Colossians 2:13. Paul says this, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So the issue with us is that we're spiritually dead. Is there anything else the Bible says? Well, we're in spiritual bondage. Look over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You know, this is an interesting message this morning because sometimes this morning there is probably more truth without action than there are with most messages I preach. If there is an action that I would want for to come out from me, it would be that we would be humbled and that we would be grateful. You know, the issue I think with most Christians is we are not thankful for our salvation. We are not thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us. We don't really just really think about it. And this morning I want you to be thankful. I want you to understand that there's no glorying in the flesh. The more thankful we are, the greater we will serve Him. Right, parents? You all know that, right? What do you want from your children? You want to see that they're thankful, right? And so you know that if they're thankful, it will guide their lives in a certain way. And so it's important that we are thankful to the Lord. So what is our issue? The natural man receiveth not the things of God. We are spiritually dead. Secondly, we are in bondage to sin. Look at John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I love the old English when it has ETH, committeth is, you continue in sin, you're a servant of sin. Here's the issue with the natural man. The natural man is spiritually dead. The natural man is in bondage. The natural man is not free. What'll make us free? It's the truth that'll make us free. There's nothing free about a lost sinner. There's nothing free at all about a lost sinner. They are in bondage. They are in bondage to sin, and that's why they need the gospel. That's why they need the Holy Spirit to move on their heart and reveal to Jesus the truth of the Word of God. So the natural man is spiritually dead. The natural man is in bondage to sin. Is there any other spiritual description? Well, I think there is. Look over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. The natural man not only is spiritually dead, the natural man not only is in bondage to sin, but the natural man is spiritually blind. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees here, He says, woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is debtor. Drop down to verse 26. Same chapter. Jesus says, thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. As you're turning there, I'll remind you of the parable that He spoke about in Luke chapter 6, where He said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The Bible describes those outside of Christ as spiritually dead, as spiritually in bondage, and spiritually blind. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul is making sure, not only in 2 Corinthians, but as we move back to 1 Corinthians, he's making sure that the church at Corinth understands that it wasn't their wisdom. You see? The church at Corinth, they were all about themselves. They were all about their intelligence. They were all about their decisions. They were all about them. And Paul's saying this, no, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Paul's saying this, that unless the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to you, you will never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. It's that hidden wisdom of God. And so that's why we pray. So is there anything else? Does the Bible speak of anything else? We are spiritually dead. We are spiritually in bondage. We are spiritually blind. The Bible also talks about we are spiritually deaf. Look over to Acts chapter 28. This is not a good position for man, is it? It may help us a little bit more why the natural man cannot receive the things of God, because what can a dead, blind, in bondage, deaf person do? Nothing. They can't hear. They can't see. They're dead and they're in bondage. They're not free. And so that's the state. Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 25. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. It says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, Paul witnessing, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. He said, 'Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" They couldn't hear. You know, Jesus, how many times did he say this? I counted six. I think he said this six. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Is that talking about these kind of ears? No. I think there are people that don't have ears. I've never seen anybody, right? I'm sure you could Google it and find it. But he's not talking about he that hath ears to hear. He's talking about spiritual ears. And so now let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. I want you to grasp this because I think it's an important truth. It's an important truth that will help us. Help us be thankful. When the Bible says that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You're saved because the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus Christ unto you. We're all saved the same way. It's not something that we can boast about, is it? None of us can brag about it. None of us can even brag about our decision, can we? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. The only way I can understand truth, the only way I can know Him, is that the Holy Spirit moves on my heart and makes Christ known to me. You see, there is no bragging then, is there? There's not at all. There should be great gratitude for the Lord, right? It'll help us because I've been there too. Haven't we all said this? How many of you have gotten frustrated when you've witnessed and people don't give their life to Christ? Family members, you ever get frustrated? You ever get aggravated? I do too. I just got aggravated Wednesday night. Not a good thing. You know, not only will this truth help me in terms of my gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord, but this truth will also help me be more patient with souls. I get mad at people sometimes. That's wrong. You understand? I get aggravated with people. But it should help me to be patient with people and go back again and again and again and share with them the truth, because I know this, that it's not by my... Remember we talked about this last week. It's not by my presentation, is it? It's not. It's of the Lord. And so I'll tell you this. How many of us... I almost want to ask this. I'm going to ask this. I want to see it raised hands. How many of you prayed for a soul this past week? Salvation. You prayed for salvation. I love that. I'm encouraged. All right, now I'm going to ask an even more personal question. How many of you shared the gospel specifically with someone this past week? I'm encouraged. I want more hands. You know, I'm not trying to embarrass you. There should be more hands going up. But I'll tell you this, when we understand this truth, it will give us more patience with people, won't it? We won't get so aggravated with them. We won't think they're being jerks. And yeah, they are jerks sometimes, right? But what we need to do is we need to understand that the natural man receives not the things of God. They're spiritually dead. They're in bondage to sin. They're blind. They're deaf. What can they do? They need God. But I love this as well. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will take His Word and move on the hearts of men. I say that generically. And so understand that. That's an important, critical truth, that when we see the hidden wisdom of God, that it's revealed by the Spirit and it's known by the Spirit. Is there any place for bragging? There's not any place for bragging. I'll tell you this, I love this. It gets us back to verse 31 in chapter 1. It says, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, it ought to if I were a nicer guy. You know, when I witness to people, I could say, you know, I understand where you're at. That it's foolishness to you. The Bible tells me that. The Bible tells me that it's just, this doesn't make any sense, and I understand that. Can I pray with you? And then ask the Lord to move on their heart. That they would know the truth, and it's the truth that'll set them free. So not only does the Holy Spirit have to reveal the truth, He must make it known to man, but secondly, I like this, or third, it's that it's taught by the Spirit. Taught by the Spirit. Look at verse 13. Let's just try to get a little momentum. Let's look at verse 12 and we'll move into verse 13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see that we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so I want you to know this, Paul's explaining this to them. Because remember, they were in a highly intellectual society. They were in this society that said, I'm smarter than you. They were all trying to be the next great philosopher. But Paul says this, it says the Holy Spirit will teach us. This was to encourage them. Remember this? I told you just a few weeks ago that the predominant population of Corinth were slaves. Right? Slaves typically were not the most educated, but they could have taken educated slaves. Remember Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. They were highly educated young men that they took out of Israel. So these slaves could have been educated, but Paul was speaking likely to both a group of slaves that were converted, but also, you know, those that were from Corinth that were converted. And what he's telling them is this. Here's what I love. Christianity and knowing Christ and knowing truth is not based on intelligence. It's the Spirit. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You don't need to read any books by this world. You don't. If man's philosophy or man's wisdom matches the Bible, so be it. But man's philosophy, man's wisdom does not match the Bible most of the time. Don't waste your time reading all kinds of other books. Read the Bible. Now I will tell you, this is a red flag. Are you sitting there today and you go, I read the Bible and I can read the Bible and I can read the Bible and I have no understanding? Now, I want you to know this. Be honest with yourself. We kid ourselves as Christians. Why is it that we don't read the Bible? Most Christians don't read the Bible. The number one excuse I get from people, until they hear me say this, is, I don't understand it. I can read the Bible and I don't understand it. I'm telling you, there are hard things in the Bible, absolutely. But generally speaking, a Christian will understand this book. Because your understanding is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Your understanding is of God. Not of your intelligence, not of your doing, not of your might. I want to tell you, if you're in that spot and you say, you should be a little nervous. There's only two reasons that I see in the Scriptures why people don't understand the Word of God. Only two. One is you're lost. I'm not saying a difficult passage. I'm lost. You know, I'm not. But I'm talking over and over and over again. You open the Bible and it's like Greek to you. It doesn't make sense. It's like you just read a page and the words don't mean anything to you. And I'll tell you this. Ask me. I'll teach you how to study the Bible, and you're going to see it's so simple. But you can have understanding. But the first reason you might not have understanding is you're lost. The second reason, you've heard me say this many, many months ago, but you'll see this, that the apostles themselves, when they were with Jesus, Jesus looked at them and said, "Why is it that you don't understand?" And then he told them, "It's because you've hardened your heart." We as Christians, we can get mad at God. We don't ever say it that way. We can be upset at God. We can harden our hearts. And that will get in our way of understanding the truth. Because we got to make it right with God. If you have issues with God and you've hardened your heart and you're not making it right with God, that may be those are the only two reasons I can find in Scripture. I want to tell you this. Delight in that. Do you know what I delight in? Is I delight in this. That when I open the Bible, and I am going to read Scripture, I know I'm going to understand it because of the Holy Spirit. Now I will tell you this. I ask the Lord, "Oh God, give me understanding. May the Holy Spirit just give me an understanding of your Word." I want to be clear. You've heard me say this many times. You know how we go verse by verse, and that kind of puts me on the spot going verse by verse, right? It's like there are some verses I'm like, man, I want to skip that one. But will know that I skipped it. Or somebody will. And that's good. I love that accountability, right? But I'll tell you this. I've read passages and I'm like, oh no. I do not know what I'm going to preach. And it puts me on my knees the same as you because I know I'm going to preach it. And you know what? I don't want to get into the pulpit and lay a golden egg, you know? I mean, I have a basket full, right? And you're like, amen. But I mean, I want people to enjoy the truth. But it's the truth that'll set them free. And I know this. And God will do it every single time. I've seen it time after time after time. Not that you have to be a preacher. Not that you have to be a teacher in front of people. But I know this. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding. I do not want you to be beholden to commentaries. I want you just to be able to go to the Bible and read the Bible and say, "What does the Bible say? Wow, I love the Bible. Man," and so there might be passages you don't understand. Text me. Do you know this? I don't respond to texts super fast all the time because I don't want you to know that I don't know the answer. I want you to know, well, Steve, he's busy. And so I'm like, oh, I don't have a clue. And so it's good. I love it when you text me. Your questions are my questions. It causes me to open the Bible. Don't be concerned that you don't understand some passages, but I want you to know this. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us truth. Let me just take you to a few passages. I want you to see this. Look over to, if you would, let me make sure. Look over to, what's the best passage I want to take you to? Look over to John 14:26. John 14:26. John 14:26, Jesus speaking to His apostles, but I believe He's speaking to them as His first church. I believe this. Just so you know, I'm not going to preach this message today. When Jesus said, "I will send another comforter," He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Was the Holy Spirit already here on earth? Absolutely was. Has salvation always been the same? Absolutely. Has the Holy Spirit's work always been the same? When He said, "I will send another comforter," He was to come alongside that Greek word paraclete. He was to come alongside the Lord's churches and bring comfort to His churches. Now look what He says. He says this in John 14:26, "But the Comforter," which is the Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." I love that. Just listen to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. He says, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues, unto the magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." I'm not saying that Luke 12 will always apply in our lives, but I'm pointing out to you that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us understanding. The Holy Spirit's the one that leads us to truth. The Holy Spirit's the one that opens the hidden wisdom of God. God's hidden wisdom. The Holy Spirit must reveal it. The Holy Spirit must make Christ known to us, and the Holy Spirit then teaches us. Be encouraged with that. And so I tell you all of that to say, why do we do that? Let's finish with verse 15 and 16. Paul says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." You see, when we're saved, the Bible says to judge righteous judgment. "Yet he himself is judged of no man." No man will judge us. Verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. Nobody knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. But now he says this, but we have the mind of Christ. And how do we have the mind of Christ? It's through the great work of the Holy Spirit. Paul's preaching this, that no flesh should ever boast. No flesh should ever glory. No flesh should ever be proud. I'll tell you this, what we should be is we should be humbled. We should be thankful that we are able to be called a Christian. Is that not a privilege? And that privilege of being a Christian is because the Holy Spirit revealed Christ. The Holy Spirit made Christ known, and the Holy Spirit taught us those truths. That's what Paul's teaching. You know, not a lot of action, but I want you to know this. I hope today that you are more grateful for your salvation. And gratitude results in action. It's one thing to say, I'm thankful. Show me. Jesus Christ, we should show Him how thankful we are, how indebted we are, and that we glory in nothing but Christ. Let's pray.